Okay, good morning. We're going to start on time, hopefully, right now, and as people come in, we'll continue. But we have a lot to do today, so we're going to start. I wanted to include two malachos today. I wanted to first discuss the malach of tochein, of grinding things, and then I want to be able to accomplish soveya, which means dyeing, coloring things on Shabbos. Then just want to touch up a couple things from last week as far as telling Goyim to wash dishes on Shabbos. We had a long discussion about that, so I did some more research. I just want to touch up one or two things about that at the end, and maybe just a couple other things if we have time. So first, the malach of tochein. Tochein means grinding. In the Mishkan, they needed to grind certain substances to make dyes and to make bread in the Mishkan. So we said a number of times already that all the malachos, the 39 malachos that we have on Shabbos, is based on what they did in the Mishkan. So tochein, grinding, doesn't mean necessarily grinding to a powder per se, but we say that it's included in the Deiraisa, and what's forbidden according to Torah law is not just grinding but also shredding and grating and chopping and dicing and cutting. Generally, cutting into small pieces is included in the malacha of tochein. So now when we say tochein is cutting into small pieces, what does that mean, small? How small is small exactly to be included in the iser of tochein? So as we've mentioned before, I think we mentioned by other malachos, that the Bir Halacha says over here also, the Chafetz Chaim says, that it's not clear how small exactly is small. There isn't a clear, exact guideline. How small do I have to cut something for it to be forbidden on a Deiraisa level? So therefore, the Bir Halacha says, and the other place can say, that anything that would generally be called very small pieces, to people would look at that and say, oh, that's very small, that should not be done on Shabbos. Meaning it doesn't have to be tiny, tiny, tiny pieces. Even if it's just considered small, you would consider it small or very small, that should not be done on Shabbos. We have to get to exceptions. We're going to see how are there going to be ways where it would be permitted for me to do tochein on Shabbos. But if in a general situation, in a regular situation, if I cut it into something that's considered very small pieces, let's say like an Israeli salad, I take cucumbers and tomatoes and I cut them into very small pieces and I want to make a salad into that, so that would be a problem of tochein, except for the exceptions we're going to discuss shortly, that would be running into a problem of tochein. That's as far as cutting into small pieces. What about mashing? So mashing is a discussion. There's really two types of mashing foods. People mash foods, let's say like mashed potatoes, that it comes into like little chunks, little small pieces. That for sure is the same as tochein because it's small pieces. Again, it depends how small. But if it would be mashed into very small pieces, then that would be included in tochein. But what about, let's say, like a banana or an avocado that is not really into pieces, but it's just, for lack of a better term, it's mush. It's just smashed into a mush. So over there, the Chazon Ish says, and others, the Chazon Ish says that is also not allowed. He says that is also included in tochein, just mashing a banana or an avocado. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that perhaps it's mutter. Perhaps it is mutter. He says really someone preferably should be stringent and not do the mashing. Again, we'll get to exceptions shortly, but mashing, the Chazon Ish and others, and Rav Moshe says preferably you should be machmer, that mashing also would be included in tochein. There's a machlokas as far as strips. Let's say you have like long strips of, let's say, like a red pepper or a green pepper, let's say a carrot, and you cut it very, very thin, but it's very long. So is that included in tochein, that I'm cutting it into small pieces? So the minig is that that's permitted. That is permitted to do on Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's permitted, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others, the others that say it's forbidden, but the custom is that we say is allowed to take green peppers or red peppers and cut it into very thin slices, but it's nice and long, so we say that that's not a problem of tochein. That which we say by foods, there's a problem of tochein, this is only by foods that are gidulei karka, the produce of the earth, something that grows from the ground, like fruits and vegetables, like the examples we've been giving so far, carrots, peppers, and tomatoes and cucumbers, things like that, that are gidulei karka, that are produce of the earth, that is where the problem of tochein applies. But by meat and chicken and fish and eggs and cheese and deli and things like that are not produce of the earth, those either come from animals or fish or eggs, things that are not produce of the earth, that we do not have an issue of tochein. Meaning, if you have a piece of gefilte fish and you want to cut it up for a child, so you're allowed to cut that into tiny, tiny pieces. It doesn't make a difference how small, because those are not gedule karka, pieces of meat and other foods. Let's say you're afraid the child's going to choke, so that totally can be cut into very small pieces. As far as the fruits and vegetables, we have to discuss for a child. What could somebody do for a child? But any foods that's gedule karka, that are produce of the earth, that's where tochein applies. Even by these other foods that we said are not a problem of tochein, of cutting up, like the meat and the chicken, it is not allowed to be done with a utensil that is specialized for grinding. We spoke about specialized utensils when we discussed borer, and similar for tochein. Even the other foods, you're definitely not allowed to use it for, you're not allowed to use a utensil that's specialized for that. So let's say a grinder or a garlic press or a grater or a potato masher, things like that, that are not allowed to be used. Surely for fruits and vegetables that are gedule karka, that are produce of the earth, but even for the other types of foods like meat and chicken and eggs and cheese, you're not allowed to use a grater or something like that. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that an egg slicer is allowed, even though, because he says it's just basically a bunch of knives, a bunch of blades that cuts the eggs into slices, but that's not considered a utensil that's miyuchad for grinding. By the other foods that are gedule karka, that are produce of the earth, like fruits and vegetables, that for sure is not allowed with a utensil specialized for that, but that is not allowed even with a regular knife, even with your hands. That is not allowed, the fruits and vegetables. So we have to get to some exceptions. There's another rule. Another rule of ein tochein achar tochein, that there's no grinding after grinding. Meaning that if you have a produce of the earth that was already ground up, and then it's put back together, I mean, let's say like bread, or challah, or cookies. Let's say you want to crumble up a cookie on top of an ice cream, on top of a mousse, or some type of topping that you want to make out of cookies. So cookies are produce of the earth, right? They're wheat, or oats, or something, that's why it's mizonos. So it's a produce of the earth, but it was put back together again. So over there we have a rule that ain't tochen achi tochen, and that's not a problem. You're allowed to crumble up a cookie or bread into very, very small pieces, because since it used to be crumbled up very small, it was made into flour, and then it was put back together. So the reasoning is that that's not an automatic, that's not a natural grinding up. It was already put back together, chibur al-yidei adam, was put back together by people. So you're allowed to grind that up again. Cookies and cake and bread. Let's say you have sugar or salt that was ground up, but then it got like hard and it clumped up back together again, or a sugar cube that used to be ground up totally and then was put back together again. You're allowed to crumble that up into very small pieces, even though it's produce of the earth, even though it's gedule karka, that is permitted. However, not to be confused, let's say you have vegetables, fruits and vegetables, that were cut up small. Let's say it was cut up small before Shabbos. You're not allowed to, on Shabbos, cut it up even smaller. I mean, what we're talking about until now was that you have a cookie or sugar or salt that was very small, and then it got big back together, so you're allowed to do it again back to small. But if you have fruits and vegetables that were cut up before Shabbos, and then you realize, you know, it's not small enough, I want to make it smaller, so that is not allowed. Because we said before, like we started, that we're not sure exactly how small is small. You're not allowed to make it small, so the Pais can tell us that we're not 100% sure how small is small. So even if it was cut up small before Shabbos, but maybe that, according to Halacha, was really not considered small. So now when I cut it up even smaller, maybe now I made it from not small to small. So anything that was cut up before Shabbos, it's great, the best to do it before Shabbos, but you're not allowed to cut it up even smaller before smaller on Shabbos, because maybe now you made it halachically from not small into small. And again, even a specialized utensil also can't be used, even for the cookies and the sugar and the salt and the bread. Also, that's not allowed to use a specialized utensil. The reason why you're not allowed to use a specialized utensil is because it's called uvdin dechol. It's called like a weekday activity, which is a hard concept to explain. The Paiskin themselves, they're not 100% sure how to explain it. But uvdin dechol means a weekday activity. It's considered like a vachadik, a thing, something, a weekday act that you're using a grinder or a grater, something that's not so Shabbistic. Which is basically how the place can come out to explain it, that it's not considered a Shabbistic act, so it's only forbidden on a Durabana level, but any specialized utensils for grinding should not be used. So far, all we've said are things that are generally the things that are not allowed and would be allowed because they don't fall into the category of tochein, as things that are not produce of the earth, and in some situations of ein tochein achar tochein. We need to discuss two exceptions, how someone, let's say someone wants to cut something up on Shabbos, what is the way to do it. So one way that you're allowed to grind or to cut something up on Shabbos is in a highly irregular manner, meaning something that's what we call a shinui. Shinui means something that you change from the normal way. Now normally, I think we've mentioned this, that you're not allowed to just get up and do a malacha on Shabbos with a shinui, because that's still forbidden on a drabana level, to do something in a funny way. But by Teichen, we had the Paiskim tell us that that is allowed. If you do it in a very weird way, so Teichen, we say that is permitted, because many times it gets in the way of, it interferes with Onik Shabbos, with enjoying the Shabbos. So if you do it in a big shinuyim, in a very irregular manner, and the way that the Paiskim tell us, we can't make up our own shinuyim, our own changes, is if you do it with the back of a knife or the back of a fork. Now, to cut up a cucumber with the back of a knife or back of a fork, maybe hard. It probably is hard. That's why it's called a shina. That's why it's considered a very irregular manner. So if you want to do it like that, that the place can tell us that Chazal would permit. So if you're able to cut up something that, a fruit and vegetable, that normally would not be allowed to cut up into small pieces, but you want to cut up into small pieces, so you could cut it, if you're able to, with the back of a fork and the back of a knife. We're going to get to mashing in a second with the back of a fork and back of a knife. Hold on one second.
Can you just say, what's the back of a fork? It's not the back side.
No, I don't mean to turn it upside down. I mean the back, the handle. The handle, I'm sorry. The handle. The handle. Definitely. The handle. Sorry, you're right. I should have explained that better. It means the handle. Not to just turn it upside down, because when you mash something with when you cut something with a fork, quite possibly the normal way to do it is with the underside. What I mean is the handle. I'm sorry. That's one heter way out, is to use the handle of a fork or the handle of a knife. Another way out, which is a famous way out, is what we call la'alter, which is to grind something, to cut something in small pieces for immediate use. So you do it for immediate use. Now when we're here for the halachos of Borer, we discussed what does that mean exactly for immediate use. It doesn't have to be for right now, but it means like part of my Shabbos, my meal preparations. If it takes me a half hour to prepare my meal, so within a half hour from the meal, I'm allowed to do these types of acts of tochein or of Borer. I'm not allowed to go read a magazine afterwards, which we were discussing before the shiur started, as far as reading other things on Shabbos. But let's say you're reading other things, so that's not part of the meal. So you're not allowed to go to shul afterwards or read a magazine or the newspaper or something like that afterwards, because that's not considered la'alter for immediate use. But if you're doing it for la'alter, so there are those that say that that is permitted and you're allowed to do tochein for immediate use. There are those that say that's permitted. The Ramah brings such an opinion from the Rashba. However, the Mishnah Berurah does bring that many people, and the Chazon Ish brings as well, that many Rishayim and many Paiskim that say that La'alter should not be relied upon. And you should not go ahead and cut things up very small just because of the fact that it's being done for immediate use. So I spoke to Rabbi Sachs this morning just to get clear how I should come out, and he basically said like what the Bi'ur Halacha tells us to do, and he says that the Bi'ur Halacha says, was the same person as the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, he says that you should not just simply go ahead and rely on la'alter, on immediate use, as a leniency, but what you should do is you should cut it into bigger pieces than you normally would. If you want to rely on this heter of la'alter, that you could cut it up, but don't cut it up into very small pieces like you would normally during the week. You should cut it up bigger than you normally would. So together with the fact, meaning you want to cut something up on Shabbos, you forgot to cut it up before Shabbos, you want to cut it up small, so don't cut it up very small. Cut it up a little bit bigger than you normally would, plus la'alter. Plus you should do it for immediate use. So if you have, let's say you want to make an Israeli salad on Shabbos, so don't cut up the pieces as small as you normally would. Cut it up bigger than you normally would, plus with la'alter. Meaning even to just normally do it a little bit bigger than you normally would, you know, maybe you wouldn't rely on that. Because we said, how small, we're not sure exactly how small is small. If you want to do that, you should cut it up a little bit bigger than you normally would, and do it for immediate use. If you're cutting up for a child, a baby, or a sick person, or an old person, that you're very, very not comfortable with cutting it up a little bit bigger than you normally would, because you're afraid for danger reasons or for health reasons, so there the Paiskim can tell us that you are able to cut it up to very small with this, solely relying on this leniency of immediate use. Meaning again, just to be clear, there are those that say flat out, if it's for immediate use, you could cut it up very small. We preferably do not rely on that. If you want to do it for immediate use, you should still cut it a little bit bigger than you normally would. But the Paiskim can tell us, for the purpose of refuah, or for a sick person, an old person, or a child that you're nervous about choking, let's say you want to cut up a grape. A grape is a fruit, so you're not allowed to cut it up very small. So you just want to cut it up in half. So it could be that's considered very small. You cut up a grape in half. Some parents I know, they don't cut it up in half, a grape, they cut it up into thirds. So I would think that would be considered very small. So if you use it for immediate use, you pull it, place it right on the child's high chair right away for immediate use, that would be permitted, the Paiskim tell us, because since it's dangerous for a child to have a whole grape and even a half a grape, so over there you could solely rely on the heter of immediate use. But just generally to rely on that, we don't do it just la'alter, we do it also a little bit bigger than
really
what's usually done.
To what you generally do.
Right.
It's different for every person.
No, that not. I mean, what the Chafetz Chaim is telling us is that what would the Hamaynam, what people would consider very small, you should do it a little bit bigger than that. It doesn't sound like it depends on each and every person, meaning what people in general would be considered very small. Meaning if generally people would come and look at this and say, oh, wow, you cut that up very small, so then that's considered too small for Shabbos. So if it's for immediate use, you can rely on it for a child. But if it's not for a child or anything like that, it's just stam, regular serving, you should do it bigger than what generally people would consider very small. You should do a little bit bigger than that. By mashing, what about by mashing? So there are those that say, the Chazon Ish says that by mashing for immediate use, that for sure you should not rely on. And the reason is because when we say something's for immediate use, that means that that's considered derech achila. That's the normal way to eat. It's not considered, oh, I'm coming to grind. The normal way to eat is to cut it up into very small pieces and then I eat it up to make it more comfortable for me to eat. That's why there are those that say you can rely on cutting it up very small. We only rely on it for children or for old people. But that's the logic behind it, that's not called cutting up very small, that's just the way you eat. But by mashing, you really can't say that that's the normal way to eat. That's what the Chazon Ish says, a logic, that by mashing, it could be more stringent that you wouldn't rely on the mashing for immediate use. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, perhaps you could. I would tell you, if you're mashing something, it's a very easy way out. Just use the back of a knife. I think by mashing bananas, perhaps even avocado, it's definitely possible to be done, I think, with the back of a with the handle of a knife and the handle of a fork. So that should preferably be done. But again, for immediate use, if you want to chop up a banana for a child, if for somebody, an elderly person, you want to do it for immediate use, a banana or something like that, for sure, you'd be allowed to rely. Because anyways, we have Rav Moshe Feinstein that says that for mashing, the leniency would apply. I asked my wife, I know my wife likes avocado, so when I was preparing these halachas, I went over to her and I said, how do you mash the avocado with the banana? She's like, what do you do before Shabbos? You don't think I know anything? I do before Shabbos. So anytime I'm learning these halachas and I go over to her, I said, by the way, do you use a peeler? Do you use do you have this the crock pot? So she's like, you don't think I know it? Of course I, you know. So my wife is very knowledgeable, but these are halachas, basically what comes out. Yeah.
What if you needed to cut up nuts small?
So nuts are gedulei karka. It's like a fruit. We make eats on nuts. Yeah. But walnuts. You know, if something is crushed walnuts, so you think, okay, the walnuts are already crushed. I'm allowed to crush it. But like we said before, that you can't crush it more on Shabbos, because perhaps they weren't halachically considered small before, and then you're making them small again. Now, if you have like ground, I mean, sometimes you buy these packages of like almonds or something that are like totally ground, like powder, so then, okay, I don't even think you're going to make it even more of a powder, so it's really not something, yeah, something that's for sure considered like a powder, so then if you need to make it even smaller than that, you know, perhaps you would be allowed to. But anything that you would consider making smaller, so obviously it wasn't so small beforehand, so that should be avoided on Shabbos. The best is, like we said with the soda bottles, to do these things before Shabbos. And my wife claims that the avocado tastes just as good when it's done before Shabbos. Sorry? You leave the pit, right? That's what she does. I don't like avocado.
Can't you cut the avocado into chunks instead of mashing it? I mean,
okay, so if you're comfortable with serving it as chunks, then yeah, that'll be okay. If you make it a little bit bigger than you normally would, then yeah, but a lot of people, they want to make like an avocado salad with hearts of palms and tomatoes and, you know, grape tomatoes, something like that, so they like to have it mashed, so then that would be if we ever learn Hilchos Brachos, we'll talk about what's the bracha on hearts of palms. Yeah.
So mashing chalons, you say, is a problem. Like, you know, kids like mash their chalons before they eat it.
Oh, right. That's a good point. Right. So potatoes, right? Potatoes are... so if they're mashing up the potatoes or the barley... Okay, the barley is very small. I don't know. But if you're mashing the whole thing... The meat, we said, is not a problem because meat is not gedulei karka. But potatoes, yeah. You're mashing up a potato. So mashing would be the same as bananas and avocado. So again, if it's for a baby, that's necessary. Yeah, but just stop for an older child that's able to do it. So then, as far as mashing, we said preferably you should not do it. And as far as the altar, we said preferably you should not do it. If you have put together the altar and the mashing, you know, preferably it should be avoided. Preferably it should be avoided. One last halacha as far as by not foods. Let's say, until now we've been discussing foods. The halacha of tochein applies not only by foods, but also by non-foods. So if let's say you're walking in the street with your heels or just any regular Shabbos shoes and you get mud on your shoes and it gets a little bit hard, so you're not allowed to scrape it off. There could be other issues as far as mamachik and things like that, but so you're not allowed to scrape off any mud or dirt that got hard. You're not allowed to crumble that on Shabbos. So that's something that a person has to be careful of. Let's say, you know, it got on your shoes at the end of Shabbos last week and you didn't realize, and now it sat there the whole week, and now you put them on Shabbos morning and you realize, oh, it's, you know, there's mud and there's grind, so, and you know, it got hard, so you want to grind it off, you want to scrape it off on Shabbos. That is not allowed.
So even cholent that like falls on your skirt or something like that, you didn't
know. So that's a good question, right? So cholent that gets on a, or any type of other food that gets on an outfit, so that could be a problem of tochein. Yeah, you know, if there was a big chunk and you know you're scraping, you're grinding it off. Yeah, the place can say that could be a problem. Okay, there's no heter of tochein tochein acher tochein by non-foods, because by the foods, we say, once, let's say, the mud was gotten very small, and then it clumps back together again, so now the fact that it used to be very small is irrelevant. By food, it's not irrelevant. It changed. It was down to flour, and now it got to cookies. So we say, if you grind it up again, so that's not a problem. But by something like mud, the fact that it used to be very small is not any more of a leniency. So we don't have ways out for those types of things, and also it's not only by gedula karka, by mud or by any of the non-foods. Basically, what comes out by the non-foods is, like we said, that you have to be careful. Something like mud gets on your shoe, that you shouldn't grind it off. Okay, good. I think we've said enough for what I need to say for teichen. Next, we're going to discuss, like I said before, the malacha of tzoveya, of coloring things on Shabbos. Now, like we said by kosev, we discussed kosev 2 weeks ago. Kosev and tzoveya are two different malachos. Kosev, when we say writing, writing is really the way the Mefarshim tell us, the commentaries explain to us, that kosev is really as far as the writing, meaning I'm writing something, I want to give over a message in my writing, but of course I need a backing to have the writing. We said you're allowed to make motions in the air and on somebody's back, you need a backing, but the main point of the kosev, of writing, is for the letters or the picture. By tzoveya, it's the opposite. By tzoveya, we say coloring and dyeing something, that's for the enhancement or the improvement of the material, of the object. So that's what we call coloring. And the way it was in the Mishkan, which we said everything is based on the Mishkan, in the Mishkan they were dyeing the dyes, they dyed the curtains and the urios and other objects in the Mishkan. So over there they dyed things, so that is another one of the Avos Malachos, to dye something. Now I don't expect anyone here on Shabbos to go pick up wool and start soaking it in dyes and to dye it. So we need to discuss how is the Malacha of Tzoveya going to apply to us nowadays. So we discussed by Kosev that, and we're not going to get into it so much, we didn't get to it a lot, but Kosev, what is forbidden on a Daraisa level and what is forbidden on a Darabana level, only on a rabbinic level. We said something that lasts, something that's miskayim, something that's going to last for a long period of time, that is forbidden on a Daraisa level, on a Torah level. And something that is only ain't a miskayimis, that doesn't last for a long time, is forbidden on a Darabana level. Of course, we don't do either one. We don't do things that are asur midarabana either. But there are things that are asur midaraisa and things that are asur midarabana. How long is considered long lasting? So you mentioned briefly by Kosev that it's also a big machlokas in the Paiskim. Rambam, Rashi, Shaar Tzion, many discuss how long is considered long. We need to be stringent that anything that's going to last for the entire Shabbos would be already forbidden on a Da'iraisa level. Something that's going to disappear quickly, that would be forbidden on a Darabanan level. But like I said, it's not so applicable because we're going to be stringent and not do either one of those. When there's some leniencies, when there's other ways out, so perhaps we'll be makel by something that's only forbidden on a Darabanan level, something that's not going to be lasting long anyway. Fine. So that which we say coloring a garment or wool, that some pais can tell us, that's only if it's an improvement to the beged, if it's an improvement to the garment. But let's say that it's just making the garment more dirty, meaning let's say someone's bleeding and they take a garment to stop the bleeding. So they take a white garment, and now it gets red from the blood. So they need to do it because they want to stop the bleeding. But some places can say that that's not considered soveya, because that's not considered dyeing the beggar and making a white garment into red. That's not a problem, because that's just derech luchluch, that's making it more dirty, and that's not improving the beggar. So there are those that say that that's flat out mutter. If I spill soda, or I spill wine, so there are those that say, oh, big deal that I'm coloring the towel. I'm not coloring the towel, that's making it more dirty. I'll put it in the washing machine, it's not the end of the world, but I'm not coloring the garment, I'm not improving it. So those that say that, it's totally permitted. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that there are those that say that that's forbidden on a Durabana level. So therefore, when somebody is bleeding and you want to stop the bleeding, you want to put direct pressure, because that's how you stop the bleeding, you can just ask any male, and or if something spills, you have soda that's dark, or something, wine or grape juice or something that spills and you want to clean it up. So there are those that say that it's totally permitted to use a towel. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that there are those that say that it is forbidden on a Durabana level. So therefore, what should you do when you have a spill or something like that? You should use, don't use a garment, but you should use something that's going to be thrown in the garbage. Because if something's going to be going the ibud, it's going to be thrown in the garbage afterwards anyway, so then for sure we can say that that's not considered tzoveya, that you're coloring the garment. Coloring the garment, I'm coloring the napkin, I'm coloring the tissue, the toilet paper, or whatever is being used, the gauze pad, it's going to be thrown in the garbage in 2 seconds anyway. So there we say that's much more of a way out. So preferably, if something spills on the table, so try not to let it spread to the rest of the tablecloth, because the tablecloth for sure is not going to be thrown out. But if you have what to clean it with, preferably you should use something that is disposable. Cotton pad, or a band-aid, or toilet paper, or gauze pad, a tissue, a napkin, something that's going to be thrown in the garbage. You squeeze it, don't squeeze on it, because that's other problems of schita. But as far as tzoveya is concerned, it's a much better way out, as far as tzoveya of coloring, to use something that's disposable and not to use a garment. If you have nothing else, all you have is a towel, and it's spilling all over the place, and you can't get a napkin right now, so then, fine, perhaps we have one to rely on to use a garment, even though the garment will be colored based on that. To take a suntan on Shabbos is machloikas, because you're coloring your skin. Now, I don't think taking a suntan on purpose is much of a Shabbos activity anyway, but there is a machloikas as far as purposely getting a suntan. If you're going for a walk on Shabbos and it's very sunny, and it happens to be your skin gets a suntan, that's totally not a problem, because you weren't doing that on purpose at all. It wasn't your intention whatsoever, but a suntan is a machloikas. Sometimes you have in the toilet, you have those toilet deodorizers, you know, like when you flush this way, it'll turn blue and things like, and you know, it'll make it smell better, it'll color the water nicer. So it's a big discussion in the Paiskim, is that allowed to be used on Shabbos? So preferably the Paiskim tell us, there are those that say it's permitted, there are those that say it's usser. Plenty of people say it's usser. The Shevet Levi says it's usser. There are those that say it's mutter. The Be'er Moshe says it's better not to. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that preferably you should take it out before Shabbos. If you like to have it in your house, preferably you should take it out before Shabbos. If you did not take it out before Shabbos, then you should take it out on Shabbos. If you can't take it out on Shabbos, let's say you're somewhere else where it's not up to you to take out, or it's not removable on Shabbos, so then we say you are allowed to flush. Since there are those that say it's totally permitted, and perhaps it's not your kavana, you really don't really want the tzoveya so much, it's really not there for that, so we say that as a last resort, we would say the place can tell us you could rely on it, but preferably, if you want to have it during the week, that's fine and good, but preferably it should be taken out before Shabbos.
If you're visiting and someone has that.
Right, so if you're visiting in someone else's house and you use the bathroom and you see that it has that, definitely you are allowed to flush. It's what we call kavod abrios, it's human dignity, and by something that is only forbidden on a derabbanan level, we are allowed to rely on kavod abrios, and we say you are allowed to flush. But if it's in your own house, if it's in your own jurisdiction, so preferably to remove it before Shabbos, and if not, then preferably to remove it on Shabbos. The people that have glasses, that when they go in the sun, they change colors. So the most places can say that that is permitted for a combination of reasons. First of all, it doesn't last. So anyways, it would not be forbidden on a deraisa level. It's only a grumma, it's only cause. I'm not actively going and coloring something. And anyways, we say that it's not really tzoveya. It's just something that appears in the sunlight. It's not really coloring the lenses. So if you or your husband has one of those types of glasses, so most places can say that that's not a problem. We have a general rule by tzoveya that ain't tzviya ba'ochlin. that there's no dyeing food, there's no problem of dyeing something, of coloring something by food. Okay? Now we need to explain, what does that mean? What does that mean that by food it's not a problem of coloring anything? So what the Paiskim tell us is the following. And I spoke to Rabbi Sachs this morning again, how I should come out, practical halacha, and this is what comes out. When we say that there's no tzviya, there's no dyeing by food, that means that if I'm putting something in, not for the coloring purposes, I'm doing it just because it's an ingredient, meaning I have hot water and I'm putting in coffee, so it changes the color of the food. Or I put in an ingredient that changes the color of the food, but I'm not doing it for the purpose of changing the color. So we say that that's not a problem. I'm doing it for the taste or for the flavor. So there we say that's not a problem. But if you are doing it for the appearance, then, like, let's say you have food coloring bar, I'm sorry? Paprika, right. So if you're doing it paprika for the taste, so then that's okay. But if you're doing it to make it look like a reddish color, so then we say that then there are those that say that would not be allowed. Because we that's only forbidden on a derabbanon, on a rabbanon level, and there are those that say that that's totally mutter, but the Mishnah Berurah comes out that really you should not do. So if you're doing it for the purpose of the appearance, so then that should not be done. So if you have these food coloring little bottles, those are even muksa, because those food coloring bottles, they don't add taste, right? I don't think they add taste. Those are solely used for the purpose of coloring. So to use those on Shabbos, you're not allowed to, we're saying, midrabbanon, but you're not allowed to, so therefore those become even muksa. My sister-in-law used to always use those food colorings. She lights candles with oil, which is the halacha. Why halakas neros? Why some people light with oil? But she used to put water on the bottom and then oil on top. So she used to drip food coloring, but she did it before Shabbos, so it was not a problem. She used to, like, let's say green, and then she had green napkins and green plates on the table, so everything matched beautifully. So, you know, if people use food coloring not just for food, they use it for other things also. So something like that. But that's muksa on Shabbos. You have to put it away if you're going to use it right before Shabbos or something like that. Just giving you guys a good idea. But if you're going to use it right before Shabbos, make sure you put it away, because those bottles, they have no use on Shabbos, so then those would be muksa as well. What about by a beverage? What about by drinks? So the halacha is basically the same, just with one exception. Basically the same, we say that if you're mixing something into a beverage because for the taste, let's say you're making, like, say, a smoothie. Okay, you can't obviously make it, grind it up on Shabbos, but if you're making some type of beverage, well, let's say by coffee or something. Okay, we have to get to water in a second, but other type of beverage, let's say you have milk. And you want to put in chocolate milk. You want to put in the chocolate milk. So most places can say, Rabbi Ribiat is machmer over here as well, but most places can say, not like that, that you're doing it for the taste, because you don't want to drink just milk. You want to drink the chocolate milk. So it changes the color. So again, that's not a problem, because I'm not doing it for the color. I'm doing it for the taste. But if you're doing it for the color also, then, you know, perhaps that could be a problem. But by water, there's an extra stringency. By water, I mean, that's why I specifically gave an example of milk. By water, there are those that say that if you put the water first and then you put the coffee or the tea scents, which we discussed, the halachas of tea bags. We didn't discuss so much the halachas of tea bags, but we said preferably you shouldn't use tea bags on Shabbos. But if, let's say, you make the tea scents before Shabbos, so you're changing the color of the water. So there are those that say, even though I'm not doing it for the color, but by water there's an extra stringency, because that's too similar to what was done in the Mishkan. And the Mishkan was done with the dyes. They had the water first, and then they put in the dyes, and then, of course, they put in the wool. So that's too similar to what was done in the Mishkan. So there are those that say that you shouldn't do the water first and then the coloring, even though you're doing it for the taste. But rather, you should do the coloring first, pour the tea scents first, the coffee grains first, and then put in the water. Okay, is that clear?
But then you don't have a problem with cooking.
Okay, so I'm not getting involved in cooking things. Let's say using coffee.
Crystallite.
Also, it looks like making iced tea. But besides the cooking problems of the tea scents,
or so
preferably you should put it in first. The Mishnah Berurah, by the simon of Tzoveya, he doesn't say this. He doesn't say you have to do this. Somewhere else, the Sharetzion, there's a Chafetz Chaim also, he brings it somewhere else. It's brought from other Paiskim, the Rav Payalim, the R Paiskim that say you should do this. I asked Rabbi Sachs this morning, and nothing against Rabbi Sachs, but if you don't daven in the Agudah, you're not beholden to Rabbi Sachs. But Rabbi Sachs says that I should mention this Chumrah, that if all things being equal, it's preferable to put the water in second. Again, Rabbi Ribiat says even by milk, that you should put in the milk second. First put in the cocoa and then the milk. I didn't see anyone else say it by milk. Most places can, I think, say it only by water, that you should do the water second. If you see somebody else do the water first, You don't have to scream at them that they're being Mechal Shabbos. If by mistake you yourself, you put in the water and you realize, oi, can I put in the tea scents now? I put in the water first. Once you already put the water in first, you're allowed to. Okay, if you want to put it into a different cup, put the tea scents in a different cup and then just pour the water in, great. All things being equal, you should preferably try to do the water second, but it is an extra chumrah, and if it's inconvenient or if you see somebody else doing it, you definitely don't have to scream at them.
Clarify, if you're getting hot water and you put it in a klisheni, you can put the crystals of instant coffee there.
Preferably a klisheni. Preferably a klisheni. Preferably you should pour it into a klisheni.
First klisheni, yeah. And then put the crystals.
When we were discussing the halachas of Borer a few weeks ago, so we discussed about tea bags, and we said that there are those that say a tea bag is a kli that's miyuchid for borer, so therefore you shouldn't do it because it strains through it. We did not get involved in what you were asking as far as the bishul of the tea bags and like that. But there are those that say that even by a kli shlishi you shouldn't do, you shouldn't use tea bags. But by crystal light, by something that's by something like coffee, that we say is not a problem. That
I think. But you need a kli shlishi.
I have to check into that. By coffee grains, I'm not a coffee drinker. I have to check if that's enough with the klisheni or the klisheshi. I have to check into that. Coffee is cooked before, right? So we say in bishul lach a bishul. Perhaps by tea leaves, it's more chomer because we say that tea leaves could be kali a bishul. Mishnah Berurah says perhaps that it's kali a bishul, and that could be more stringent. By coffee, it's less stringent.
Is seltzer considered water?
As far as this, seltzer is considered water in many regards. As far as drinking before you daven, and as far as washing the tilis adayim, seltzer, that those that say you can wash the tilis adayim with seltzer even with a bracha, seltzer in many ways has a din like water. As far as this, I'm not sure. It's a good question. Meaning sometimes like you put in the grape juice in the seltzer, right? You petal, if those are from Eretz Yisrael, you put the petal with the seltzer. That's a good question. I have to check into that. That's a good question. Makeup, just as far as makeup on Shabbos, your husbands are upset at me, a lot of different things that I've said, so if I could find you a heter for makeup, maybe your husbands will be happy with me for once. But I don't want to get so much into makeup because it's very controversial and things like that. But just basically, I'm sure you know that lipstick is not allowed on Shabbos, besides issues of mimarech, which perhaps we'll discuss at a different time, but it's tzoveya. The place can say that it'll be a problem of tzoveya on the body. You're coloring your body and you're coloring your lips, and that's definitely an improvement. So lipstick should not be used on Shabbos. Any eye makeup for your eyelids, your eyelashes, things like that, that's tzoveya. You're coloring your skin on Shabbos. That should be avoided because of tzoveya. Any creams that would color your face, like if a person wants to color up a pimple or something like that, or a birthmark, a beauty mark, something like that you want to cover up, that's tzoveya. We're not getting now into issues of mimareach, as ointments and creams. Again, perhaps we'll discuss that a different week. But those, you know, anything that colors the face should not be done. It's famous that perhaps there is some type of face powder, some type of talcum powder that is wiped away very, very, very easily. And even though we said before, something that doesn't last is still forbidden on a Durabanan level. But it's, Rav Moshe says that perhaps there is some type of makeup, some type of powder, like a talcum powder that is very, very on the surface, and that will be permitted. Definitely do not go and use it before you ask a Rav. Many Paiskim say flat out that there is no such thing and it's not allowed. Use caution before relying on such a heter. You have to make sure that the powder that you are specifically using is the powder that Rav Moshe Feinstein would have permitted. And Paiskim say nowadays such powders are very, very rare, that it's very, very, very much on just on the surface. Can't be any oil base because then it does stick a little bit. So use caution before you start using makeup on Shabbos. To remove cosmetics is allowed on Shabbos. Nail polish is not allowed on Shabbos. Even a clear nail polish, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, should not be used because even though it's clear, but you're shining the nail and you're making the nail more beautiful. So that's a chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that even a clear nail polish should preferably not be used on Shabbos. Just one last thing that I want to just finish off. We were discussing last week as far as washing dishes, and it came up as far as telling if you have a guy in your house to wash dishes. So we said two things. We said that a guy can wash dishes for you even if it's dishes that you're not allowed to wash, dishes that are totally for after Shabbos. We said a guy is allowed to do, and that is clear in halacha, because if it's something that you are allowed to do, so then of course a guy is allowed to do it. But even the dishes that you would not be allowed to do, a guy is allowed to do that for you. However, we said that it's not clear, and I did some more research on it, and now I see that it is very not clear, that we said that perhaps there is one person that says you're even allowed to instruct the guy to do it. So that should not be done. That I did more research, and in Simcha Bunim Kohen, he brings in the Sanctity of Shabbos, he brings many Paiskim that tell us that you should not command the Goy to do that on Shabbos. Meaning we're talking about the dishes that are totally for after Shabbos. You should not tell the Goy to do that on Shabbos. If it's their own volition and they are told that they don't have to do it on Shabbos, they could do it after Shabbos. So then they would be allowed to go do it on Shabbos. Hold on 1 second. But if it's something that they're only hired for these few hours on Shabbos, so then he says, and this makes a lot of sense, that you can't say, oh, it's their own volition, they can really do it after Shabbos. You only hired them to come from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and Shabbos ends at 6 o'clock. So obviously, they're hired to wash the dishes, they need to be doing it on Shabbos. So that is not permitted, because that's as if you're, so to speak, as if you're instructing them to do it on Shabbos. You hired them for Shabbos to wash the dishes, and say, no, I didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos. But that's basically obvious that you're instructing them to do it on Shabbos. So therefore, that would not be allowed, even if you, because that's as if you're telling them to do it.
What if they're just coming to help you with lunch? Like, you're having company, and they're coming to help, and they're...
Why are they coming to help? Because they're nice people? Because you hired them.
They're doing other things also.
Okay, fine. But are they hired till after? Are they a live-in maid that they're there tonight also?
Let's say from 12 to 4.
So then that anything you're telling them to do, you are telling them to do it on Shabbos, basically.
Not telling them anything.
No, but if they're hired to wash the dishes and other things also, but they're hired to do X, Y, and Z, so then let's say Y and Z as cleaning up the toys, they're allowed to do, because you're allowed to do that if there's no boater issues.
I'm not saying anything.
Right, but it's obvious. If you're hiring them from 12 to 4, part of that is to wash the dishes.
I didn't say that.
Well, come on. I mean, that's, if you're, you know, there's a sink full of dishes and I'm paying you from 12 to 4, if it's understood that their job is to wash the dishes and they're only here on Shabbos, then it's as if you told them to do it on Shabbos. So if it's something that you're permitted to do because you need the dishes for Shalosh Shudas, so if you're permitted to do it, they're allowed to do it. But you want them to do it. That's, you know, you want to hire them because you don't want to do it. So that's totally permitted. But if it's something that you're not allowed to do because it's dishes that it's totally for after Shabbos, so then that is tantamount to telling them to do it on Shabbos. It makes sense, no?
No, I understand, no. But I'm just to backtrack right for a second, I just feel like, let's say I do have that where someone will come from 12 to 4, but there's so many other things that are being done.
So those are the things they could do. Those are the things they could do. But this is not permitted.
But you cannot wash these dishes.
Right. Maybe you'll find that it's not worth it to hire them anymore. But because if they could only do the other things, but the dishes is, let's say, the thing that's the most important to me. So maybe it's not worth it. Okay. But that, you know, but that's what he comes out over there. Perhaps ask a Shaila, and maybe you ask your Rav. Maybe there'll be other ways out. But he tells us that it's tantamount to commanding them to do it on Shabbos. So again, if it's something that you're permitted to do, permitted to do. But if something that you are not allowed to do, then it's as if you're telling them on Shabbos. Okay, anyone who wants to stop, it's 10 o'clock, and take questions.